Good morning. Good to be with you this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're especially glad you're here. Hope you've been enjoying all the sunny weather lately, and hope that during your time here this morning with us, that you will be encouraged. I really appreciated Roger's thoughts during communion about the importance of family, and that's what we try to be around here, and we'd love for you to be a part of this family if you're not already. This morning, we're going to talk about freedom, and we're going to start in Genesis chapter 21. We'll work our way to Galatians chapter 4 and end up in John chapter 8. It'll all be up on the screen, but if you want to follow along in your own Bible, you are welcome to. I have, since I was a kid, really liked the 4th of July. I love the idea around it. I've always been kind of a patriotic person. Love the idea of freedom in America. And if we get to watch things explode while listening to Sousa marches, even better. And I love just everything around the 4th of July, except for, as a kid growing up in Alabama, the heat. The 4th of July was never a fun day just to be outside because so quickly it was just brutal with the heat. And so I've appreciated being here in Oregon on the 4th that sometimes it's hot, but it's a different kind of hot that if you've not been in the South, you just don't completely understand the difference. And I always liked when I was a kid going to the fireworks show. And I remember going several times, just the different shows, and one would top the one before it, and different places we would go, and just the excitement that went into all of that, and the celebration of freedom. Now, where we paired up freedom and explosions, I'm not exactly sure, but it's fun to watch those fireworks and understand what they represent. And for me, it's kind of like the freedom that we will talk about today, which is a freedom that, quite honestly, I have not done a thing to earn. And I know we have a lot of military folks and veterans among us who have done things to secure that freedom for us, but for me personally, I've just kind of lived under that blanket of freedom that somebody else has taken care of. And as a church, we have the same kind of freedom that is not something that we could do anything to pay for. We'll start here in Genesis chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. Now, if you'll remember back a couple weeks, we looked at David last week in our VBS story. But before that, we have been going through the book of Genesis. And we've looked at the promise that came to Abraham and to Sarah that they would have a child. And as they got older, they started to wonder about how this child would come to be and decided they wanted to take control of it and do things their own way. And yet this child that God had promised still had not come. And I love that we are finally getting to the point where the child does come as we're about to celebrate Iva's 100th birthday, because Abraham is also at his 100th birthday. He's around this time where as he has gotten older and older, he is finally going to become a dad. And Sarah is visited as the Lord had promised. As Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And the first thing we see in the story is that God did as he had promised. And it's been a recurring theme throughout our story of Genesis, and it will be a recurring theme throughout Scripture that God will do as he has promised. And for us, we also know that God does as he promises. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him, and Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? And yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Laughter. Now, we learn in Scripture that the name Isaac actually means laughter. And I'm not quite sure what to make of this sometimes. I've come around in circles about exactly what the meaning of this is. Because there's the obvious that if you were to hear a story of this couple, 190, who have this child at that age, you might just have your jaw drop in amazement. And you might laugh over that. And as she would relay that story on to others, she might laugh over that, and they might laugh. But I wonder how many times with just this thought coming through her mind as she got older and older and kept thinking about this promise that was made to her, that it might just result in laughter. God, how is this going to happen? It doesn't even seem possible. And just the laughter and the incredibleness of this promise that comes through. And she decides that this child is going to be named Laughter and will be a constant reminder of this too good to be true, impossible, how in the world could it happen thing that God has promised. And yet, as we just read a moment ago, God does exactly what he promises he will do. And I think for each of us, we probably have things like that that might be laughter for us. We have, in my own life, I can think of so many things that did not seem like they would ever come together, that came together, and I look back at those things and just kind of laugh at how God is able to do what God is able to do. We were told before we got married and shortly after we got married that we would have a lot of trouble having kids, and we would need infertility treatments and all of these things to be able to have children, and those doctors did not know what they were talking about. And we had no trouble at all having children. And when these kids came along, I just thought to myself, that wasn't supposed to happen. And I think of Abraham and of Sarah as they get older and older and just thinking this couldn't happen, and yet it does. Now, it's interesting to me as I was thinking of this as the next story in line that we were going to talk about, and I read Roy's article in the Bulletin this week, which if you haven't read, makes a great job of connecting our freedom and the freedoms we find in Scripture, maybe better than I do today. He went in his article to the same place I was going in my mind, to the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 4, everything leading up to the verse Roy shares in the Bulletin, "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law?" Now, these folks that Paul is writing to in the book of Galatians, and we'll see the Abraham, Isaac, Sarah connection here in just a second. These folks that he is writing to in the book of Galatians are in a struggle within their church. Hard to believe, isn't it? There are struggles within churches. Even back here in the first century days, there are struggles within the church. And their struggle was, and it's one that we've looked at quite a bit in the book of Romans on Wednesday evenings too, they had these two groups that are trying to learn how to operate together. Now we have, Democrats and Republicans, men and women, conservative, progressive, whatever groups you might want to think of. In this day and time, it is the Jews and the Gentiles who are trying to learn how to be Christians together. And there's a group among the Jews that are known as the Judaizers. And the Judaizers' plan is, if you want to really be a Christian, what you first have to do is become a Jew, because those are God's chosen people. And then once you've gotten that down, you can really understand what it is to be a Christian. Now the problem is, Jesus doesn't mention any of that, does he? Jesus just says, follow me. Jesus gives all the reasons and the ways and all that's supposed to happen. And in none of that is, you've got to become a Jew first and then become a Christian. And so you've got this group that is trying to make the Gentiles do something that is not required of them. And then you've got the Gentiles who are just frustrated by all of it. And part of the Jews' issue is, they have always been under the law. Now it's interesting to me that as far removed from the law is, we still try to take ourselves back to that idea, don't we? How many times have you found something in Scripture that we try to do as Christians, and people say something like, I just want to find a thou shalt not to that thing. I just want the direct command that makes it clear and obvious. And the problem is, there can't be a direct command that makes it clear and obvious about every single thing that comes along in life. And at some point in Scripture, we start to see that there is example to what we do. And at some point in Scripture, we start to realize that we live under grace because law is just too difficult to keep. So what we don't want is just a whole bunch more rules like the Jews are trying to put on these Gentiles. What we're looking for is grace. So for those that are under the law, Paul begins to speak to, it is written that Abraham had two sons. The story we've looked at today and a little bit the last time. One by a slave woman and one by a free woman. And to remind you, if you're not familiar with the story, or weren't here last time, Abraham, as he got older, and Sarah, as she got older, before the age 100 and the age 90, when Isaac comes along, start to wonder how this is going to happen. And so Sarah has the plan. We have this Egyptian slave girl, Hagar. Why don't you, Abraham, have a child with Hagar, and this can be the child of the promise that God is talking about? This is not at all what God had planned, by the way, but this is what they decide to do and realize shortly after it was a bad idea. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. We have here the picture of slave and free. It's a picture we see pretty clearly, I think, in our culture today. Even now, there are issues with slavery around the world. We've had our own history with it here in America. And we understand when we look at slave and at free, which one of these things is right and which one of these things is wrong. We understand when we look at slave and free, which one of these things we want to be and which one of the things we do not want to be. And yet here in this picture, they choose the wrong direction to go. Now, this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother, for it is written, "Rejoice, O barren one, who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband." Now, all of that to say this, whose plan are we going to follow here? And a consistent theme we've seen beyond the covenant and the promise in the book of Genesis so far is that God lays out a way that things should happen, and then people come along. And people have this tendency to look at the way God wants to do things, and they say, well, I have a different idea. I have a better idea. And who are we going to be in this story? And we see at the very beginning, the first week we were looking at all this, that there is only one rule that they have. Don't eat from that tree. And what do? They eat from that tree. But there's just one rule. That's all you had. Only one law here. Just don't eat from that tree. And they go to it anyway. And then we see that there is a way that they are to sacrifice. And one brother sacrifices in that way, and the other one does not, because he wants to do it in a different way. He likes his way better. We see as it goes further along that they build this tower because they want to reach to God and they want everyone to see what they are doing. They're pointing toward themselves instead of to him, and things go awry in their plan. We see after that, in the flood, that the people are so evil that God has just had enough, but he saves Noah and his people through that. And over again, the story repeats. Abraham is sent to a place and he shows faith in going there, even though he doesn't know where it's going to be. And yet along the way, he lies because he is fearful. And each time when God's people choose their path instead of his path, the plan goes awry. And what God has done for us is shown us the path of grace. And yet for whatever reason, we keep trying to reach back to the path of law. And I think, honestly, it's just because for some reason we think it will be easier. And yet it isn't, is it? When you know the rules, does it always make it easier to follow them? When you know every single thing and how it should be, does it always make it easier to do it? Drive down the road today and see the examples of that. Everyone knew those rules when they were 15 and took the written test. They don't know them anymore, and they don't follow them. And for us, as God's people, he has given us this grace to live under instead of the law. And yet, for whatever reason, we try to keep reaching back into the law, not understanding that it was not good enough, and that is why the grace is here to begin with. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. We are children of the promise, like Isaac. And you may have somewhere in the course of all this thought to yourself, well, you know, Genesis is fun for Bible class or for VBS or those kinds of things, but why are we talking about this? It doesn't get much older in Scripture than what we're talking about right now. And how does this relate to me? Because we are children of the promise, just like Isaac. This promise, this covenant that is made, that we keep revisiting each week, is a covenant that is also made with us. Because God is not only seeking a relationship with these folks we've been talking about, he is seeking a relationship with each of us this morning. We are people who have been chosen to be free instead of living in slavery. For freedom, and this is where Roy connects us in the bulletin, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Stand firm in this new freedom that we have. And if this were all physical in front of us, we would have no trouble with this at all. If we were all literally slaves this morning, and the proclamation came down that freed us all, we would rejoice in that freedom, would we not? Now, I like to think we wouldn't try to go back to it, and yet, historically, I think we see sometimes that there's a tendency there. We looked at Moses in the book of Exodus not too long ago in one of our Bible classes, and there was a tendency there for those folks to look at the freedom that they now had, and suddenly the slavery looked better to them because it was more predictable and the food was there to eat and they had homes and all of that, and they just wanted to go back. And for us, I think we run into some of the same things. We have this freedom that is before us, and sometimes we just don't know what to do with it. And I think we see that all around us too. Sometimes this freedom we have in America that we have celebrated with all the fireworks recently takes us to places we don't need to go. Sometimes there is the freedom to do just anything we want, and we take that and do stupid things. And instead here for us, this freedom that we are given, God tells us to stand firm in it, to understand that it is Christ that brings us this freedom and we stand firm in him. Now, Jesus himself puts it this way. Jesus said to the Jews in John 8, who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" And notice again, they connect back to Abraham. Why do we talk about these things in Genesis? Because they keep coming back. Jesus references him, the other people in the New Testament reference him. There is truth that will set us free. We should always be people who are seeking after truth. Not hiding from it, not running away from it, but seeking after truth, because truth frees us. If we live lives that are true, we don't have to be in constant fear of what the rules are, because we are living lives in truth. We don't always have to look over our shoulder. We don't always have to live in fear of God that he's going to be upset with what we're doing, because we know we are following the way that he teaches us to go. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." We have been set free, and yet we keep trying to go back to the thing that we have been a slave to. And for each of us this morning, there is probably something that fits this category for us. There is that sin that you try and try and try to conquer, and you just keep finding yourself back there again. And we are, by doing that, choosing to put ourselves right back into slavery. And yet Jesus has set us free today. So what is true freedom? I don't think it's what we do the fireworks for on the 4th, although I like that freedom. And I think that freedom gives us a great place to be this morning with nicely yellow painted stripes and air conditioning and all of that stuff. But that freedom just is minuscule in comparison to the freedom that we have in Christ. We have a freedom to know that God made a promise to Abraham so long ago that was fulfilled in Isaac and that continues being fulfilled in us as his people. We have a freedom to know that through Jesus we see the example of how this life is to be lived, and that we don't need a thou shalt not for every single thing that comes along, because we know how Jesus lived and how we should live in turn. We have a freedom to know this morning that each of us, regardless of what has brought us to this point, can take on that promise. We have a freedom this morning to know that whether this is your first day inside a church building, or it's the first time you've been back in 20 years, or if you're here every week, that God's love for you is equal to his love for me and to anyone else in this room. And all he wants of you is to choose to follow him. So this morning, if you look at your life, the way too many Christians look at our lives, and honestly, the way the world around us assumes our lives work, everything about Christianity, the way we talk about it in our culture, is limiting, isn't it? It's always about the rules. It's always about the things we can't do. And I will tell you, the life that has been intended for us is a life that is free. In John 10, Jesus says that he's come that we would have life and life to the full. That is the life we want to be living this morning. And it doesn't look like the life to the full so much of the world around us lives, but it's the life to the full that our Creator designed for us. And if you're not living that life this morning, you don't need to do 14 other things and then decide to start living that life today. You need to start living that life now. Worry about the other things later. Get everything in order as you go, but start living that life today. If you have never taken him on in baptism, do that today. If you're darkening the doors here for the first time in 20 years, make this the day that everything changes. If you look at your family life and you think, my family life is not what it needs to be, and next January 1st, when we make resolutions, I'll do something about that, change it today. This new life, this freedom that we have, is not something that we put off into the future on some random day. It is something that starts now. Or, like Roger talked about, if you need help in this walk and you need that group of birds to follow you along and make sure you're okay in that flight, that is why your church family is here. If there's something we can pray about in your life, anything we can do to help in any way, please come while we stand and sing.